My Heart Christ Home. Most of you know that I've invited those that want to, whether you are able to attend here or you're at home, to be on a 28-day time of spiritual renewal and focus. And I've provided these little booklets. There's two versions of it. They're very short, called My Christ or My Heart Christ Home. And for each day, I've prepared a few questions and some thoughts and some scriptures to read along with it, and just inviting people to take 10 or 15 minutes every day especially and read that little section that's in here for the day and read a couple of scriptures and think about a couple of questions that are a part of that and just say, God, what do you want to speak to me about? What do you want to say to me? Inviting us to a time of quietness before the Lord and seeking His Spirit. And so if you didn't know about that and would like to, there are booklets that remain, and you're welcome to pick them up. There might be some at the entrances, and then there's some on this front table. And then today at each of the entrances are a purple sheet with questions and some scriptures for the next 7 days, inviting people to read that section each day along with a booklet. And so if you want to pick that up and take it with you, or you know someone that you've been helping to provide those, you might be listening today and you don't have a way to get those. If you would call me this afternoon, I will be sure that you do. I've mailed some further away and emailed them to people that are not in the area. And so we want to make sure that you have those if you want to be a part of that time of quietness each day. And on the 28 days of February, it's February the 7th, and so we're into that. And if you'd like to become a part of that, I invite you to do that. We are in a sermon series about prophecy. Started 3 weeks ago, and we have been looking at scriptures that talk to us about the role of prophecy in the scriptures. And why is prophecy in the Bible? And what does it help us with in our faith? Certainly, you have a lot of interpretations of various prophecies in the scriptures, and sometimes those interpretations can vary from one person to another. Why did God give us visions about the future? Prophecy is an important part of the Bible because God is speaking to us through every book of the Bible, every section of the Bible, every book. God has something to say to us. I've always believed that there isn't a single book out of 66 in our Bible that God doesn't have something to say to us in the day that we live in. And I believe that's absolutely true about prophecy. We've talked about how prophecy is proclamation of God's truth. And there are many forms of that and ways that people can prophesy and people can speak God's truth and tell others about what God has given as His truth. There are many forms and expressions of prophecy. Over the last 3 weeks, we have especially spoken about the value of the prophets. We've been talking about the Old Testament prophets and their uniqueness in the Bible. And why is God pleased to give us the prophets of the Old Testament? We think of the major prophets. We think of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Then we think of Daniel, of which our subject is of today especially, and then there are the minor prophets, called minor because they're shorter in length, but each one of them have a message and a context from God to speak to the people of their day. In addition to that, I believe that every one of those books not only speak to the context of the day, but God applies it to the context of this day, and there's something that God wants us to hear from every single one of those books of the Bible. They're all unique, and the prophets of the Old Testament, and as we talk about prophecy in the New Testament, it's unique. God speaking to us. God not only spoke to the people who lived and heard the voices of these prophets back then, but God wants to take those same things and speak to us today in our lives and in our circumstances. And certainly, this day and this year and this time in our life, I believe the prophets have something to say to us. For the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the prophet Ezekiel, a little bit about his background and when he lived and why he was called of God and what he had to say, and just a little bit about this great book that's 48 chapters long. And we talked about these amazing visions that that Ezekiel had. God gave him, called him and said, "Ezekiel, you go tell the people what I'm going to tell you. Whether they listen or not, that's not you to worry about. You go and tell them my words and my message." And so Ezekiel did that throughout his time as a prophet. And he was calling them. He was pointing to them. He was saying to them, "Come back and listen to God. You've stopped listening, and now all these events have happened in your life, and you're hopeless and you're helpless, but yet God has something to say to you." And then last week we talked about the message of God: "I have not given up on you." We talked about the valley of dry bones. Can these bones live again? So this morning, knowing that was last week, but these words have been on my mind all week long, that question: can these bones live again? What does God want to do in your life, in my life? What does God want to do in the church today, in this place and around the world? What does God want the message of the church to be during these days of craziness in our world? What does God want for me as a Christian during this time? I know God speaks to the church in these prophecies. He speaks to me. I pray that God will speak to you, and whatever He says to you, that you'll get up and you'll do what God calls you to do, but listen to the voice of God. The valley of dry bones is such a place to remember and hear and call back. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? What are you saying to the church? There is a stirring. There is a rattling. Talked about last week the breath of God, the ruach. How God's Spirit came into the bones and the ligaments and the muscles. And when the Spirit of God came in, He was able to resurrect dead bones. God's Spirit can do amazing things when we're listening to Him and we're on fire and hungry. God can do incredible miracles in the lives of people. God can take a hard heart and turn it into the most tender of hearts. God can take where there's brokenness and pain and suffering, and God can use that to change people on the inside. The breath of God, how powerful it is. Can these bones live again? Can God's Spirit come again, the breath of God? I'm so thankful today for God's Spirit. Well, today and next week and possibly the week after, I want to focus on a different prophet. I want to focus on Daniel. The book of Daniel, the man Daniel, the prophet Daniel. Another great book where God is speaking. God is speaking to the church with force and truth. Daniel speaks the words of God, oftentimes through visions that God gave him, incredible images that come to his mind when he's sleeping or when he's awake, and speak to Daniel about the people of his day and what God's going to do in his day. Within Daniel, within the book of Daniel, or I'm thinking of three basic categories of things that we find in the book of Daniel. One is we find amazing stories, incredible stories, true stories of what happened in Daniel's day. You want to be challenged to believe in God and believe that God has His hand on this world. Read the first six chapters of the book of Daniel. They are incredible stories of that God has not forgotten about His people. God knows us. He knows what we need. Several weeks ago, in early January, I was at home on a Sunday because we had COVID, and Pastor Keith Mowen came and preached that Sunday, and he preached from one of these stories in Daniel, three Hebrew men in the fiery furnace. I listened and I watched at home as he preached and was a part of that service, and it was a powerful message. A couple things he said there that I just thought were so powerful. Number one, he reminded me that there's a fourth person in the furnace. I love that. Sometimes we forget that there's a fourth person in the furnace. Thank God that He's with us no matter what goes on. Thank God. If you haven't heard that message, I encourage you to get on our website and listen to it, or find a CD, or if you would like to. But that was so encouraging to me, and I am thankful for that ministry. There's also great stories of moral courage in Daniel. Simple courage to do what's right, to stand up for what's right, to have enough faith and trust in God that you do what you know you're supposed to, no matter what the odds are against you, no matter what might could happen to you, to have the courage to do what's right. These stories are incredible. The lion's den, the fiery furnace. Daniel's also about the future. Especially the second half of the book of Daniel is about the future. The first half is too, in part. But especially in the second half of the book are incredible visions about what God's going to do for the rest of history. What He's going to do specifically and with great colorfulness and symbolism about how the passing of time is going to lead to an event that God was planning from eternity past, and that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel's looking forward from the day that he lives to the day that Jesus comes, and basically the last six chapters of the book are about that, and about Jesus working in human history and bringing about the coming of Christ. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful story. Daniel is truly a prophetic book in the sense that it gives us glimpses of the end of time also. Daniel is speaking primarily to his day, to the coming of Christ, but then he goes beyond that and he speaks about really the time of the church and coming up to the very end of times when Christ is going to come back. It's a beautiful book, and when you study it and look at it, you see that God has His hand on us through history. So who is this man, Daniel? This man, this prophet. Number one, he lived about the same time as Ezekiel did. So what I talked about Ezekiel the last couple of weeks kind of applies to the time of Daniel. Ezekiel actually lived back in Israel when the Babylonian army came and captured the city and burned the temple down and took many of the people back into slavery. Apparently, Ezekiel was a little bit older than Daniel was at that point. But their lives overlapped, and they both were taken to Babylon. They both spent their ministry, as described in their books, as captives in Babylon. And so there's a lot of things to say about Daniel that are similar to what we know about Ezekiel as well. Ezekiel especially talked about revival, the end of the book, and the encouragement of God. Daniel's focus was more on what's God going to do in the future? What is God going to do from now and leading up to the time of Christ? Both of them were foreigners in Babylon. They were captives. The thing that's different about Daniel and Ezekiel is Ezekiel lived at least about 20 years in Babylon. I really don't know when that ended, but we know that Daniel lived for 70 years in Babylon, at least. And so Daniel had a longer time, it looks like, at least from what we know of in the Scriptures. We know also about Daniel that he had incredible ability that God had given him. He was gifted in his mind and his talents and his abilities and his perceptions, his ability to learn, his ability to take the information that he had both as a boy back home in Israel and then when he was in Babylon. And he was a good student. He was teachable. And these qualities helped Daniel to become a young man that God could put His finger on and say, Daniel, I have a job for you. Daniel also had maybe the best quality Daniel had is he had incredible integrity. And that's shown in the first six chapters of the book and how this young man, probably an early teenager at the beginning of what we first hear about Daniel, likely how even as a young man he stood up for what's right and he was not going to back down to what he knew was right in his life. And his integrity was confirmed throughout his life and experiences that he had with the kings of Babylon. We know that he was called by God to speak for God. I mean, God came to Daniel and said, Daniel, I want you to tell the people this vision. Other times God gave him a dream, and then when he woke up, God came back to him and said, now I want you to do this, and I want you to explain this to the people. He truly was a prophet of God, as you think about that and you describe that. Another distinctive about the book of Daniel is it is very closely tied to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And those of you that have been around the Bible a long time know that, and you know that there are prophecies in Daniel that are kind of similar in wording to prophecies in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. You might wonder, well, how are these related to these? And how are these books connected? Well, the reality is the books of Daniel and Revelation do have a lot of very similar things in them. They're both about the future. They're both about prophecy. They're both about what God is going to do in His kingdom. The first kingdom, the coming of Jesus to Israel, to die on the cross. The second one about Him coming back and conquering evil and Satan for all of time in a new heaven and a new earth. So both of these books are describing these events. And certainly the book of Daniel overlaps with both of those events. The books of Daniel and Revelation are also similar in that they have very common symbolism in them. And they have similar creatures that are used to describe events and kingdoms and people that to us, without the context, can be very confusing. But both Daniel and Revelation had something from the mind of God that they come from the same mind because they're describing events. And Daniel uses words and terms and pictures that then John the Revelator picks up in the book of Revelation and continues them for the end of time. The visions that are common, the events that are common, the end of an era that's common, the first one being the end of these kingdoms that Daniel has this vision about, and then the coming of Christ. And then in the book of Revelation, as God brings to a close human history and all that comes with that. Truly, Daniel and Revelations are books to study together, and we're going to look at Revelations as we get through a little bit in this series as well. Well, the book of Daniel itself was written about 600 years or so before Christ came. Certainly the events in the book are described beginning with the first person narrative that Daniel wrote them, or someone that Daniel knew or someone connected to Daniel wrote those events. And they're written primarily in the first person, and they're written about Daniel's perspective, his perspective about where he lived and what was going on, but then also about what was going to happen after he died and what was God going to do, what was God going to bring about. The book of Daniel is about 12 chapters long. If you're interested in reading in and thinking about that, it's not a long book to read compared to, for example, Ezekiel was 48 chapters. Daniel's only 12 chapters. The first six chapters are stories and dreams that kings had, and Daniel interpreting them about their lives and about the future. And then in chapter 7 is a whole new path. It's the visions that God gives to Daniel himself about the future. Both sections speak to us. Certainly, they're stories that include the people of Daniel's day, and then they include people of the future, specific leaders and rulers that Daniel in his vision sees as being in charge of the world in 200 and 300 and 400 and 500 years after the time that Daniel's gone. It's incredible the detail that Daniel has about these kingdoms later that has led some people to believe that there's no way that Daniel could have written that. I mean, they say some of the things that are found in the book of Daniel so exactly match human history in 300 and 200 B.C. that there's no way somebody back there could have done that. Well, my thought about that is, I know God can do that. I understand that the way that He described, for example, the Greek and Roman Empire is incredible, thinking that He did that 300 and 400 years before it took place and happened. It is an incredible book. However God brought that together and brought that into our Bible, it's an incredible look of both the history and the future. Daniel lived, like I said, a long time. He lived at least 70 years. He lived through the time of five kings. Their lives, their reign, not necessarily their whole lives, but their reign. So he was there a long time. He started as a teenager. I don't know when he really became a leader and was given all the authority and power. That sure took time, but he was likely 70, 80, could have been 90 years old for what we know by the time his life came to an end. And nobody tells us exactly what happened to Daniel in the Bible at the end. But he lived through five kings, and he lived through the transition, really, of three nations. I said two, but you have Israel conquered by Babylon, and then Babylon later, many years later, conquered by Persia. And Daniel's life and these visions and prophecy scan this time of these three kingdoms. And these three kingdoms, I know for some people, well, that's just history and it might not mean anything, but what we know about these kingdoms incredibly helps us to understand the story of God toward the end of the Old Testament. They have value just in the fact that these stories and these prophecies tell us a lot about what God was thinking when the Israelites were destroyed. And why God is giving these visions to Ezekiel, for example, and to Daniel, and several other minor prophets who lived during this time, that God has not given up on His people. God never was surprised by what has happened in human history. God is never caught off guard by what happens in human history. He wasn't caught off guard by anything that happened to Moses, anything that happened to Abraham. God wasn't caught off guard by the sin in the Garden of Eden. He knew it was coming. And I don't understand how and why. That's beyond me that God has allowed what He has. But God knows what has happened in the past, and He knows what's going to happen in the future. And prophecy helps us to see that. God knows what's going to happen down the road. He knew of the events that were going to take place to bring us to the place that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And Daniel helps us to see that. When we kind of layer off some of the symbolism and the incredible pictures that are there, we see that God is giving us a picture of Jesus coming ahead of time, 600 years ahead of time, and that's incredible. And so then Daniel, he prophesies about these events and these times and these three kingdoms that he lives in and he's looking forward to. Daniel truly had incredible visions. I say he prophesies about three, but that's because I want to talk about the kingdom of Christ next week. And that's really the fifth kingdom. And that's incredible, the vision Daniel gives us of the coming of Christ. He had colorful, amazing dreams. Wow. Honestly, I woke up this morning and remember a couple of my dreams last night. I'm thinking of one of them right now. I think, why in the world was I dreaming about that? I don't have any answer to that. But man, when I read the dreams of Daniel, oh man, wow. I mean, the thing about Daniel's dreams is they came true in human history. And even historians who look at Daniel's visions and they look at these kingdoms, and some of them, I think, they kind of scratch their head and say, oh, that couldn't have been written beforehand. It's just not possible. Well, we're going to read one of those visions this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 7. And, of course, today is just kind of an introduction to Daniel and a little bit about his vision that I want to read. And then next week, we're going to pick up on that. And what are these kingdoms about? And how do they bring us to Jesus? That's the main thing that I'm interested in. I want to read the first 8 verses of chapter 7 and then a few verses later in the chapter. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great seas. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up from out of the sea. The first was like a lion and it had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, "Get up and eat your fill of flesh." After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had 4 wings, like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Now, if you would, go down to verse 15. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of them standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts are 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Here in these words, and this interpretation basically will be then described over the next 5.5 chapters, is about the 4 kingdoms that will exist before Christ comes in world history. The context of this vision is so important to understand what it is that Daniel is describing. Goes a long way to understand what God is saying to us. Daniel has already witnessed the destruction of Israel. He, as a boy or maybe an early teenager, lived in Israel when the Babylonian army for the 2nd time came and sieged the city and finally conquered it for good. I don't know what he saw. I don't know what he personally experienced during that time. But the root of what happened to Daniel started back there, when as a boy he was taken in captivity to Babylon. So he witnessed the destruction of his homeland. He witnessed the fall of the nation that he believed that God was going to protect. He witnessed the destruction completely of the temple, and surely he would have been there and had seen it and been a part of it, at least as a child. This massive building that had been there and been a symbol of God's hand on His people and His presence among the people. Daniel had seen it destroyed, carried into captivity. He's taken away, but because of his intelligence and eventually as his integrity rises, he becomes a servant to the king of Babylon. He's known because he can interpret dreams. That was important in Babylon. Soon Daniel was recognized as someone who had this incredible gift from his God. And not just that he had this incredible gift from his God, but Daniel was someone who never lost grip on his faith when he was taken into captivity. Just that part of the story to me is amazing anyway. It's almost worth stopping and thinking about that. Here's this man, ripped, this boy, teenager, who's ripped out of his home, ripped away from what his worship and whatever he believed about God, but he gets to this foreign land and he becomes a spokesman to say, "I still believe it. I still trust God. I still believe that God is speaking." And you know what? When we can do that, when things are tough and things are hard and we're bombarded with life, that's a great example of Daniel, a man who could do it. You may have things going on in your life, even right now, that challenge your faith. If you're like me and like most people, there might be events going on in 2021 that we don't feel we understand completely or know what's going to happen or even know what decisions to make sometime. But I want you to know that if you stick close to God, He can help your faith to be strong. He can help your influence to be what He wants it to, so that you can have a godly influence in 2021 in the same way that God wanted you to have a godly influence in 2018. God has something for you in 2021. He had something for Daniel when he got to Babylon. You know, if he thought it through ahead, Daniel might have thought, when all that happened and he's being carried away with whoever knows from his family or whatever, he might have thought, well, it's all over. God's abandoned us. Everything's changed. I don't have any hope. God will never do what He did before. God won't love us like He did before. You know, it's all about the past and what we lost. But that's not what Daniel did. Daniel was embraced in the future and that God had something to say and he was going to listen. And maybe because of that quality, God chose Daniel and said, Daniel, I want you to tell my messages to the people ahead. Tell my messages to the people that we talked about in Ezekiel the last couple of weeks by the river Kadar, who are down there and they're discouraged and they've given up and they're hopeless and they're lost and they're rebellious. Go to those people and tell them, I have a message for you. I want to say today, God has a message for us today. God has a message for your life in 2021. It's not about what He did in 2018 that really matters all that much today. Although that's great and that matters. But it's what is God going to say to us today and what does God want for us in the future that I pray, God, show your people. Show this church. Because I know God wants this church to be a light on a hill. God wants His people to be salt. He wants us to have circles of influence that we are calling and encouraging people to turn to Christ, believe in Him, and live for Him. Take all our circumstances and our problems and our opinions and our perspectives and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with that in 2021? I guess that's kind of how I feel about Daniel in 589 or 565 or whenever it was that these stories emerge out of the life of Daniel. Yeah, Daniel, it's pretty bad what's happened. But Daniel, it's all about what I'm going to do. And so one of the themes from Daniel that kind of grips my heart is what's God want to do in the future? What does God want to do in my life? God called Daniel and He gave him an incredible perspective of the future. God gives Daniel an arrow to shoot for something. It's like He gives Daniel this arrow and everybody can see the arrow. And Daniel's standing there with a bow and he's standing there by the river Kadar with all the depressed, defeated, rebellious people who have lost everything, including their relationship with God. God says, Daniel, aim your arrow. And everybody can see that arrow. And he shoots it out over time into the target of eternity and the coming of Christ. God used him to do that. It's a beautiful picture in my heart and my spirit. This arrow includes kingdoms and armies and leaders and world events, some of which seem clear and some of it doesn't to me in every detail. But in Daniel chapter 7, we have the beginning of something. We have the beginning of the message of the coming of Christ. These words include the four winds of heaven, the four beasts, the four empires. We know about Babylon. I mean, that was the kingdom that Daniel was enslaved into. And we know about the Persians because the Persian army following the writing on the wall. Another incredible story how Daniel knew that. He knew that the mighty Babylonian army were going to be conquered by the lesser Persian army. God told him and showed him and the writing on the wall, that great story, you have been found short. And then the visions go on past the Persians that Daniel lived in into the emergence of the Greek Empire. Very clear, some of these prophecies later in Daniel, it's so clear what he's referring to. I mean, it's clear if you study it from human history in the description. And then the Roman Empire, we read at the end of our reading in chapter 7. And how God knows every part of human history. And beyond that, the arrow flies into the target of the first century, Jesus coming. And Daniel talks about that in his prophecy. And some of the things that happen after Jesus ascends to heaven, and you have some of these clouded visions about destruction and the future. And all of a sudden you read something and you think, well, Daniel isn't just talking about this. Daniel's talking about the end of time. And you begin to read the parallel passages in the book of Revelation, and it's fascinating. Prophecy is not to confuse us. And prophecy is not to get us to argue about what these things mean. And I'll say, prophecy is not to get us to be occupied with that instead of occupied with what God has today for us. I think that's one of the confusions that happens with prophecy, is we can get so focused on the details of the prophecy and how they play out that we miss the message of why God gives us the prophecy. God gives it to us so we will be drawn to the kingdom, drawn to what God has for us. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I want to go into this prophecy more. Daniel's prophecy points us to Christ. That's kind of the bottom line. This band from the 6th century to Jesus coming. And the rest of Daniel is, the rest of this part of the Old Testament is helping us to see how God draws it all together. And then, when the arrow gets to the target, then we see even beyond that target to the book of Revelation. I was starting to say a minute ago, because the end of the book of Daniel's prophecy is the beginning, or not, I didn't say that right. The end of this vision is the beginning of the book of Revelation. And Daniel's goes over and includes some things in the book of Revelation, but they're both pointing toward the second coming of Christ. That's a beautiful picture to look at. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I want us to look more at that band and how Daniel points to Christ and then points on to the second coming of Christ. Would you stand with me this morning?